Hi, this is Dr. Ron Kaiser with this month's podcast. Today I'm going to be speaking about the law of specificity. I don't know how many of you have heard about it. It's actually a term that's utilized mostly in the field of exercise physiology. And the law of specificity basically states that when you practice a certain activity repeatedly, and if you practice it in the proper form, you just simply get better at it. You develop the appropriate muscles, the mechanics of it, and you begin to use it more effectively so that people who are really committed to a particular activity get better at it through practice. This is one of the reasons why, for example, high school baseball players are told by their coaches not to practice softball because they're going to get the ball pitched to them in a different manner, underhand. It's a different size ball. It comes in spinning differently and so on, and it's going to harm their ability to hit a baseball. Those of us who have tinkered with playing golf know that playing once in a while doesn't really improve our game as much as we would like. Professional golfers play and practice on a continuing basis. It's one of the reasons why professional sports have become so specialized nowadays. An individual lineman who has come out of a college program that uses a pro-style offense and has experience in protecting the quarterback's blind side will be drafted higher and command perhaps millions of dollars more than a similarly talented athlete who is coming out of a run offense. Similarly, a quarterback coming out of a pro-style college offense, assuming that he's good, can command quite a higher draft choice and quite a few more million dollars than someone coming out of an offense that doesn't project that well to the professional game. This not just applies to sports, but also to other aspects of life. For example, I really doubt that famous pianists practice for their concerts by playing violin. I doubt that famous violinists like Itzhak Perlman, Joshua Bell, and so on warm up for their concerts by playing the trumpet. You know, it doesn't make sense, and it almost seems too silly to mention this, but you practice the things that you want to do well. I recently read an article directed at training of police officers, and it pointed out how many of them stay in shape by jogging, which is an appropriate kind of activity, but it also recommended that they ought to get some work in on sprinting, because if they're going to run after and apprehend a bad guy, very often it's more of a sprint than a cross-country run or marathon. I'd like to get into the nature of the law of specificity as it applies to mental health and positive thinking. And I think that it's important to recognize that if we don't think in a positive manner, if we tend to be the kind of person who says, well, I always like to think the worst so that if something good happens, then I'm going to be surprised, that's really working against yourself. If you want to have good things happen, it's important to practice thinking in terms of good things happening. If you are going into a social situation and you're thinking of all the potential things that could go wrong, embarrassment, saying the wrong thing, not having anything to say, and filling your mind up with those thoughts, the odds of you're then going in and feeling confident and performing in a manner that you might really want to is really diminished. If you're applying for a job and you really have a lot of doubts about yourself as you go in there, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to think that you're going to go in there and really knock the socks off of the interviewer because you're going to be so confident. If you think the worst in about preparing an assignment for school or for a presentation that you're going to make, it may encourage you to delay because you expect bad things to happen. Whereas if you can get excited about the ability to perform well, that's already practice for performing well. And this applies to lots of things. Let's say that you are planning to discuss an uncomfortable topic that may lead to a confrontation with a spouse or child or coworker or friend. If you think in terms of what do you want the outcome to be, you want this thing to be able to improve your situation. So if you go in there thinking this is going to be uncomfortable, there's no way that it's going to happen in a positive manner, that's, again, working against yourself. It increases the likelihood of appropriate things not happening. So what I'm basically trying to point out is if you want good things to happen, practice thinking as if good things are going to happen. And this is kind of my format for how I like to recommend this. If you want to be successful, then I think the most important thing is to follow the law of specificity and train your emotional muscles for success. I think it's about a five-step process to get there. The first is to have the overall attitude of being a positive thinker, of thinking in terms of automatically going to the question of what can go right. Those of you who've read my book or spent much time on my website know that that's kind of the mantra that I encourage people to do, because a lot of times people think in terms of what can go wrong or don't think about what can go right. I think it becomes critical to use that as the first question. So let's assume you're applying for a job. Think in terms of what can go right. Obviously, there may be other people applying, and some of them may be very well qualified, but think in terms of the fact that you're applying because you think that you can do the job appropriately. If you're calling somebody to ask for a date or to ask to do something with them socially or to invite them to join a group that you're a part of or whatever it may be, don't think in terms of, well, I don't measure up to them, or what if they don't like me, or what if I'm interrupting their TV show when I call, or things of this nature. Think in terms of, you know, what it is that you want to accomplish and set that as a goal, because that enables you to always assess things as if it's meeting that goal or not. So again, the overall attitude is the first step, setting the goal of what you want to accomplish. And then I think it's important as a third step to visualize yourself being successful, giving that presentation, calling a friend and asking them out or to join you in some particular endeavor. Actually getting yourself started on a diet or an exercise program. Visualize yourself being successful. There's a wonderful quote from Helen Keller, who ironically stated that the most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but no vision. I think that's a remarkable quote from someone who was sightless herself but who had plenty of vision. Now, once you're able to visualize that goal, I think the next logical thing is to begin to take steps toward achieving that goal. And I think that this is one of the areas where traditional psychotherapy tends to break down, because I do believe that very often in many therapy situations, we talk about things, we talk about making changes, we talk about feeling better, and we don't have any way of being accountable for making those changes. While I'm obviously a little biased, since it's my program, I do like using the exercise cards that I have on my website to enable you to set up a process for taking small steps. If you're applying for a job interview, it would be important to begin to not only see yourself as being successful, but to do things to kind of reach that point, to be able to practice in front of a mirror, to be able to get feedback from other people, to be able to inventory your strengths for that particular position. And you can, on a daily basis, set up steps to be able to do each of those things. If you want to introduce a reading program to yourself so that you pursue a little more balanced life with more education, I would encourage you to gradually start with magazine articles or short chapters rather than taking on War and Peace or some other major volume right off the bat. If you're working to improve your social life, it would be important to start with small steps of just learning how to make casual conversation on a daily basis in less threatening social situations by asking directions, making small talk, asking whether a coworker or friend saw a recent movie that you might have seen or TV show, or even discussing the weather. But begin to feel confident in the way that you come across so that you get the feedback of knowing that what you have to say is important and accepted to other people, and that you do have things to talk about. So again, overall attitude is the first step, set the goal as the second, visualize as the third, take steps toward that goal, and then continue to practice. So taking the steps is one thing, beginning to make that a real part of you so that after you've given a presentation, that you continue to feel good about your ability to do so and practice that. After you've had a date, to be able to continue to not treat that as, say, the ultimate, but to continue to build your social skills and so on, so that you're continuing to practice thinking positively and building skills in the direction that you want to. I started this presentation by citing exercise physiology and the law of specificity that comes from it. And I guess it would be appropriate to close out with a term from that's widely used in exercise physiology. I'm sure that you've all heard it. It's, if you don't use it, you lose it. That generally is designed to refer to physical muscle and skills, but it also applies to emotional muscle and positive thinking skills. Again, if you expect to be successful, it's important to bring an attitude of success into the endeavor that you're attempting to do. Don't wait until the crisis. Don't wait until the exact time that you're going to be tested, but begin to think positively and practice having that as a part of your demeanor so that you won't lose it, and when you're called upon, you'll be able to use it effectively. As usual, I'm always interested in your feedback, particularly if you have some thoughts that can help others. Please feel free to correspond with me at the website. This is Dr. Ron Kaiser, and I'm signing off until next time.